speak total healing and wholeness to Chelsea's body. Heart function as it was created, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Every weapon formed against this baby, this infant, shall be bound and loosed in Jesus' name. This baby is healthy and whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You go back and the doctors will say, A-OK. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm excited. I had a really good time in Tulsa to getting rejuvenated. Hallelujah. Amen. Getting ministered to. Hallelujah. How many know as you pour out, you need to be ministered to? Amen. And we thank God for FCF and the organization, the covering and the anointing that flows through them and down to each and every one of us. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to go and be ministered to. You know, I don't know about you, but that word that came for the body of Christ, that the drought is over, the rain is here, ministered to my heart and my life, man. And when I heard it, there was a quickening in my spirit. You know when you hear something and your spirit, man, gets quickened? All of a sudden, you feel it jump inside of you. You know, when that word came forth, there was something that just jumped up inside of me. Amen. And I just know that we're on the brink of breakthrough. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I want you to understand that God's grace and God's rain is, when he pours out his rain, it's to sustain us, it's to keep us, it's to refresh us, it's to renew us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if you got your Bibles with you this morning, open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You know, the word of God said, Jesus said, if you continue with my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth is what's going to make you free. Amen? So we're going to speak some truth in the house today. We're going to speak the word of God, and the word will have an effect if you open yourself up and be receptive to what the Spirit has to say to you and I today. How many know that the right prayer will get you the right answer? Hello? You know, Jeremiah 33:3, he says, when you call on me, I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you know of not. In other words, it's not like you're going to get a busy signal. Amen? You know, we have a direct connect. Amen? With heaven. You know, the veil has been torn from top to bottom, and as children of God, we have the right to walk into the very presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So look with me in Acts chapter 4, verse number 29. And the word of God says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What did they ask for? What they prayed? They asked, what was the right prayer? They asked for boldness. What did they get? Boldness. You know, and the Bible says the place was shaken. If you understand that in the Greek text, there was a stirring that was going on in their midst. The place was stirred up. We stood up here a little while ago and said, stirring up deep, deep wells. Stirring up deep, deep wells. That river of life is going to spring forth. We're stirring something up. We're not just singing that or saying that just for something to sing or for something to say. We believe that we're really going to stir something up. Amen? In other words, we need to allow the Spirit of God just to stir us up. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need stirring frequently. You know, the Holy Spirit pours out in measures. He pours you out in measures to accomplish what God called you to do for that day. For that purpose that he called you for, there's a fresh measure that comes to us every day if we just open up and receive the freshness from God. Amen. So many people are trying to live on what they got last year. Or when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're trying to live on that experience. And that's history. That's not today. That's something that happened in your past. It was the beginning of something, not the end of something. It was just the beginning of something. So we got to continue and continue and continue, and we'll continue reading. In verse 32, and it said, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses, look at it, lands, plural, and houses, plural. They didn't sell their house and move into a commune, okay? They had plural houses. They were blessed, and they were offering the blessing to the Lord. And they brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of Consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet. I want to focus your attention today to verse number 36. And Joses, which means in the Greek, which means helped, who by the apostles was surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, or this word means encouragement, encourager. Amen? A Levite of the country of Cyprus. The title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is The Power of a Name. The Power of a Name. Now, we know the greatest name named in heaven and earth is the name of Jesus. Jesus means Savior. But in the Word of God, you know, God renamed Peter. His name was Simon. God looked at that, Jesus looked at that name as a sissy name. He named him, that was like a pebble. Jesus named him Peter, which meant rock. You know, James and John were surnamed the Sons of Thunder. In other words, the Sons of Thunder. Every time, when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, who was there? Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went to raise the dead little dead girl to life, who was with him? Peter, James, and John. And what the Lord wants to say to us today, and I want you to get a hold of this, there's power in the name that you name your child. And if you were in the world before you gave your, after you gave your heart to Christ, and you named your child a name that doesn't have a godly factor to it or strength, give your child a nickname. Give them a surname, because every time you say their name, you prophesy the meeting. My name is Carl, with a K. It's the German form of Charles, which means manly warrior. In other words, so I'm my name. Every time you say Carl, you're saying manly warrior. And I hear that. The world hears that. It's like prophesying over someone when you're calling out their name. And get the identity of your name and start walking in the character of who God called you to be. Amen. What? You ready?
He must be called Daquan.
Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere with this, so bear with me. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Today, I want to follow Barnabas a little bit, the son of consolation, the encourager. And I think each of you and I can learn from this, from Barnabas today. Amen? Barnabas had was in, had consideration for others. He was considerate. Barnabas not only had consideration, but he had confidence in who he was in Christ Jesus. And not only did he have confidence in himself and who he was in Christ Jesus, but he had confidence in others. And there's the third point would be not confirmation. That should be confrontation. And what Barnabas did in the midst of confrontation, the fourth point is confirmation, but the third is confrontation. Amen? Are you with me today? Amen. Or if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready to hear what the Lord wants to say to you today?
Amen.
Are you ready? So let's lift up the word together and let's make a declaration in God's house today. Can we lift the word together? Say, I believe this is the word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I am listening. My ears are open, and my heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful today for your word. We're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do today. So, Father, I just pray before we get started, Father God, that you just get me out of the way. May the words that proceed out of this mouth be from the Spirit, not from the flesh. Father God, and I pray that every word that comes forth will stir something to action in the house today. Because your word says it'll never return unto you void. It'll accomplish what you sent it to do. So we thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you that it's quick and powerful. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Amen and amen and amen. You know, I was when I was looking at this today and the power of a name and looking at that name, because the Lord was just speaking to me about so many times as parents, we just try to get names for our children that sound pretty or sound good, but we don't seek God for a name for our child. You know, the name for our child is most of the times would be a purpose in that child's life. It has meaning. And every time that name's spoken, amen, you're speaking that. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know why the Lord took me there. He never took me there before, but it's truth. If you name any other name, every other name you say has a meaning, right? It has purpose. Why would not our names have a purpose? Amen? So when we're looking at this, now when Barnabas was, his name was changed to Barnabas, the sons of thunder, from Joses. Joses meant help, but now he's stepping up a little bit more. Barnabas is going to become an encourager to others. Amen? Amen? In other words, his name spoke that, and you'll find through the life of Barnabas, he did exactly what his name said. Amen? So look with me today in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Now we find in Acts 9, we find Saul of Tarsus. He had been persecuting the Christians. We know that he martyred, Stephen was martyred and stoned to death. We find that Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with the resurrected Lord. When he encountered the glory of the Lord, he was blinded. He was blinded for 3 days, and God sent a man of God to lay hands on him so he could receive his sight and be filled with the Spirit. But even the man of God that he was sending didn't want to go and lay hands on Saul. Amen? In other words, he even questioned the Lord. Well, why would you do that? But look with me, and so we find it. Look with me in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Saul has already had this encounter. Now he's back in Jerusalem. And the word of God says that when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus and in the name of Jesus. How many times when someone is brought out of darkness into the his marvelous light, has had an encounter with the Lord, that we do not want to receive them because of who they were, not who they are now? Hello? But there was a Barnabas. There was a Barnabas. There was an encourager. There was someone that stood behind the Apostle Paul and said, I'm standing up for this man. I saw the Lord at work in his life. And I'm a testimony. I'm going to give testimony for him. So all of a sudden, and this is the first account where Barnabas starts operating and walking in the calling as an encourager. Amen? As an encourager. I think that everyone in the house needs someone to encourage them. And this time in this world that we live in, people need to be encouraged. They don't need to be torn down. They don't need to be told what's all wrong with them. They got to be told what's right with God. Not what's wrong with them. Amen. I want you to understand something about this. The cry of the lost. We're not trying to scare people about hell. What the whole thing is about is getting a revelation and understanding how important it is to share the gospel now. That's what it's about. We're not trying. I'm not here to preach hellfire and brimstone. That day isn't here yet. We're in the season of grace and mercy. Amen. We're in the season of grace. And we're ministers of grace. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, verse number 6, he said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, I see that. I see that in Barnabas. A lot of the other disciples were looking in the flesh and not in the spirit. Because truly, if they saw in the spirit, they would saw that Saul is a man, a called man of God. Amen? But they were looking in their flesh. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, we're fellowshipping together, and the blood of Jesus has washed away all of our sins. Amen? In other words, we're walking in newness of life, and when we've got to continue to accept people into the kingdom and have consideration for them. See, Barnabas had consideration for others. One of my favorite scriptures is in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says in verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we're gathering together to encourage one another. We're gathering together to have consideration for others. Hey, you know something? I look back at my life, and I was blessed. I've been blessed. I had a godly mom and dad. I had godly grandparents on both sides. Amen. That I've been blessed. There's been a lot of broken families and there's been hurt and pain, and they need to find love and acceptance in the house of God. Amen. Amen. In other words, God has a plan in every life that's in the room. And the plan that he has for me is no greater than the plan he has for you. He has a plan for all of us. Amen? Amen? You know, what the adversary tried to do, the adversary tries to take you away from the plan that God has for you. In other words, what he did is he put all kinds of things in front of you to tempt you, to draw you away, to steal what God has for your life. And that's where the adversary comes. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came to give life in the abundance thereof. In other words, God wants to do something, and it's so important that we have consideration, that we learn from this man of God how to be considerate for one another. But not only to be considerate, but to have confidence. In other words, here's what the Lord wants to get in your heart. God wants you to know who you are. The purpose and plan that God has for you. What drives you? Where's your passion? What drives you? What gives you passion? What are you passionate about? That's the call of God on your life. If you're passionate about someone, follow your passion in your life and you'll start operating and flowing in the gift of God. Because it comes from the inside. Amen. The problem is, so many times we operate, we move in the places where we're not passionate about. And if you're not passionate about it, and it's not your call, guess what happens? You get tired. You get weary. You get worn out. If you come to me and say, oh, that Sunday school class, those kids drove me crazy today, I would say, well, get out of the Sunday school class because you don't belong there. Because if you have a passion for children, amen, and that's your drive and that's your desire, you're the joy of the Lord fills the room. Amen. Amen. And that love starts pouring out to those children. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know, the Bible says that we're to be long-suffering. And sometimes if you have a passion for something, it doesn't bother you. When you're operating with the Spirit of God, you're not getting burned out. You're not getting worn out. You're operating in God's power, not your power. If you're operating in your power, you're going to get yourself drained and worn out. But when you're doing what God calls you to do, hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to be confident in yourself. He wants you three things. He wants you to be confident in him, confident in yourself, and confident in others. Amen? Give people, hey, Lord, so speak about me this. I don't like this part, but he let me have it. He let me have it. He told me, give people an opportunity to mess up. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. We're continuing with Barnabas. Barnabas is an encourager. Verse 23, it says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted, this is Barnabas, and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. What? He was a good man. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and with faith. You know, this man of God, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, what comes out of you is the fruit of the Spirit being evident in your life. And him being full of faith wasn't being full of trust in the Lord. It was his faithfulness. You know, Barnabas was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, recognizing that his labor was not in vain in the Lord. Amen? But he was an encourager. See, he not only had consideration for others, but he had confidence. Confidence. And here's what the Lord wants to say to you today. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. They're all right. The kids are fine. Philippians 1:6. You there? Being confident. Stop right there. Being confident. Stop right there. Being confident. Put yourself there. Are you confident? Are you confident? He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God doesn't start anything that he doesn't finish.
That's true, amen.
So repeat after me, say, repeat after me, but mean this with your heart. Say, I'm confident that the work that God started in me, he will bring to completion. I'm a work in progress. I'm not complete yet, but I'm being completed in Jesus Christ. I have confidence. I have confidence. I have confidence. Get that in your heart. So when you mess up, you say, oh, I got to look in the mirror again. I got to go to the mirror and say, I'm confident that God has started something in me. And God never starts something that he doesn't finish. I'm a mighty man of God. I'm called by name. My God gave me a godly name. I'm a prophet. I'm going to start prophesying. Devil, get behind me. I'm speaking life to Broadway High School. I'm going to walk through the door, and I'm going to speak life. The anointing of God arrived when I came through the door, and I'm going to walk in the fullness of God because I've got a name, and it's mighty. And be confident in what God called you to do. Amen. You know, the adversary constantly wants you to look at your capabilities and your abilities and not God's. Because if you could recognize and realize and have revelation of the God you serve, and that you're just a vessel to be used for his glory, all of a sudden, the power of the God and the anointing of God have flowed through our hearts and lives like never before. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Amen. So many people, this little lie, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So many people have spoke to you and told you that you wouldn't amount to anything, that you would never do anything. And they're liars, because God gave you a new name. There's a new name. He's given you a new name. He calls you anointed. He calls you son and daughter. Amen. He calls you priest and princes and princesses.
Amen.
Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm beautiful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're beautiful. Now look at the neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Look at the one next to you and say, it's an honor to sit beside someone that's anointed as you are. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to build up some confidence in the house. Amen. God wants to build up some confidence in the house. He wants you to recognize who you are. Oh, the devil's afraid for you to figure out your identity. Because if you figure out your identity, then you're going to step all over his head. Hallelujah. You know, when I looked at Barnabas, he was considered. He considered Saul of Tarsus. He was confident. He confident in the Lord he served, confident in himself, but he was also confident in others. Amen? The other week, and I'll tell you what, man, I was really blessed. Man, y'all blessed my heart. Every one of you that stood up and going to stand with your pastor. You know, I believe God's going to do some great and mighty things. To be an armor bearer isn't for the pastor to push you around and tell you what to do. It's his hand. It's a support with him and prayer and encourage him. Amen. I'm gonna do everything I can to encourage you. Matter of fact, man, we want to get together at least once a month at the beginning of the year. And Lord gave me this direction to go. It's called stepping up. Amen. It's called stepping up. And God's going to raise up some men and warriors in this house. We're going to take back some things in this community. We're going to take back a lot of things that the enemy has stolen. God's going to raise up some warriors, some men of warfare, some godly men that are going to stand up the gap and make the hedge. Amen? That we're going to believe God and his word. And we're going to walk in that power and walk in that anointing. And we're going to go into places and deliver the captives and set the captives free. And heal the blind and heal the deaf. And we're going to heal the brokenhearted. We're going to walk in the power of God. And the women are walking with us. I'm not saying women, you don't have a part, but we're talking about raising up some men. We're talking about raising up some priests of the homes. We're walking up to walk in the power of manhood. Amen? Praise God. Amen. So one of the things I said with Barnabas, but what Barnabas did in the midst of confrontation, if you go to Acts chapter 15, how many know, I want to say this, I guess the Lord just put this in my heart. I just felt this. How many know that blood runs thicker than water? I just want to say this for a minute. I can say something about my children, but you better not. Come on, is that just me? Is that just me? Come on now. You know, Barnabas had John Mark, his nephew. And they were out in ministry, and John Mark kind of disappeared and went home. And we find the account here in Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. It says, some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. You know, in other words, there was a great contention. Because Barnabas saw something in his nephew John Mark that Paul didn't see. Now let me say something. Paul was a mighty man of God. But Paul, the Bible says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul, that says there was contention there. There was strife. There was strife between the two of them. In other words, what would have Paul remembered who stood behind Paul when nobody wanted to accept him? It was Barnabas. Sometimes we forget where we were found and those that helped us. What the Spirit of God was saying to me is this. It's so important for us as the body of Christ when we're going through this move of God and this fresh rain that God's getting ready to pour out on this body and on other bodies around the world, as we're going in this, that we don't allow contention and strife to divide us. I want you to understand something. I'm not always going to say everything you want to hear. I'm not always going to do everything you want me to do. But I want you to understand that I love you. I'm not justifying anything that I've done. I've made all kinds of mistakes. But don't let mistakes divide the body of Christ. Amen. Don't allow those things to cause division. Amen. Here's what the Lord said. Pat Harrison, the president of FCF, prayed over Jackie and I. And this was the word that was spoken to us. That God has brought men and women into this ministry that are going to hold up our hands, and they are not going to leave. That the word wasn't that they're going to stay. God's raising up an army. Amen. And this army is going to be so connected by the Spirit that no weapon the adversary brings in is going to divide it. No weapon that the adversary brings in. Because you know what? I love you. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, I still love you. My children, when they do something wrong, I still love them. I ain't kicking them out, and I'm not denying them. You and I, as the body of Christ, we need to get past all of our differences and let's start moving for the kingdom of God. You know, every time we look at our past, all the devil wants to do is keep you in the history so you can't live the present. If you can't live the present, you can never live in the peace and joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God doesn't want us constantly looking behind our backs. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Word of God says, for ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For once, while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm Apollos, are ye yet not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, and you are God's building. Amen. In other words, it's not about the person, it's about God and the person. Amen. We're called together. You know, I believe, I'm just sitting here and I'm just seeing who's here. I believe that everyone that's in this room is called to be here. I don't think it's an accident that you're here. I don't think that you just happened to be here. I think you're here because God placed it on your heart to be here. And God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And what God is saying in the midst of confrontation, let's not let strife and envy rise up. Let's not let that booger have its place. Amen. I'll call the booger because that's who the adversary is. He's a booger. You know, matter of fact, if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14, the Word of God says, the beginning of strife is as if when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. In other words, what Solomon is saying here, it's like having a dam or a dike, and there's a hole in the dike. Say there's a little hole. All the water and pressure is going to flow towards that hole. And what that hole does is it grows larger and larger because the water is trying to escape. So it's all head to that thing. And that's what happens when strife and division come into the body of Christ. The Bible, matter of fact, the Word of God says in James 3:16, he says, where there's strife and envy, there's confusion and every evil work. And in other words, we're to be ready for this. In other words, when somebody kind of gets underneath your skin, hello? When a brother or a sister or someone gets under your skin, you just have to remind yourself, oh, Lord, you told me that was coming. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, 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 ha. Hello? Because me getting angry and me getting mad and me letting that strife and division come in isn't going to help anything. When that happens, who wins? The adversary wins. Amen?
Amen?
See, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. If we don't minister to the little things, they grow. They grow. So we find with Barnabas, he had consideration, he had confidence. Even in the midst of confrontation, amen, we can learn from their experience. Now, I know they both accomplished much, but I just wonder what might have been accomplished if they walked together. Did God know what they were going to do? Absolutely. He knows the beginning and the end. Amen? Amen? And did God still use Paul? Yeah. Did God still use Barnabas? Yeah. What do we find in 2 Timothy 4? Verse 11 is the confirmation. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 9, Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Now he says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Amen. And all of a sudden, the one that Paul didn't want to take is the very one Paul was calling to come. Amen. Amen. So in other words, there's been some that have been divided from this ministry. I know there's many that are still coming back. Amen. They're still coming back. And God's going to bring many, many more in. Amen. I think God's going to do some great and mighty things. So what the Lord spoke to me about in closing today is simply this. There's power in the name. There's power in the name. There's power. There's power. You know, can we be considerate of one another? Can we be confident? Can we have confidence? Can we get a little Holy Ghost confidence in the room? Come on now. If we're spirit men and women, we're bold. I don't know about you, but with the Holy Ghost comes boldness. Hallelujah. Are you facing some confrontation in your life? Do you know for every resolve it takes two parts? Stop waiting for the other to do something and do something yourself. So many times we're waiting for someone else to come and tell me they're sorry or to say this, and they're holding me prisoner and they're holding me bondage. Be the bigger one. Be the bigger one and say, "Hey, this isn't working. This isn't working. I want to walk in the fullness of God." And God's here today to confirm every last one in the room. He's here to confirm you today. Are you ready? But the most important part is this. You know, maybe you had served the Lord and something came into your life and maybe you drifted away from Him. And you need to just rededicate your life to the Lord. And God is calling you. He says, "Behold, I stand at your heart and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in." He will not force Himself on you. You have to invite Him. But God is asking you today, will you allow me to come back in? Not really back in. The Lord just said something to me. Not back in, because He never left. He just got buried under the rubble. He got buried under the stuff because He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. So He's still inside of you. It's just the cares and the worries of this world have pressed him down, and they're over top of him. And what God wants to do today, he wants to come back to the top. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And if that is you, the Lord is inviting you today. And you know, I'm not going to close our eyes. And the reason I'm not going to close our eyes is this. If you won't confess Christ before these people in this room, you surely won't confess him out there in the world. If you're afraid to stand up in front of this small group of people in this room and confess Jesus, you're never going to confess him out there. So if that's you, and he's been buried under the rubble, and you want to put him in the top today, in first place, come up here and meet me in the front of the room. Just get up your seat, come. Take a bold step. Come. Come. Right over here in the center. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, sit right over here. Anybody else? And pause it just in the last closing moments. Now, don't stand in judgment. Open up your hands and everybody extend their hands to this group of people right here. Can we all come together right here? Father, Lord, you see their hearts. Father, this is a brand new day in their lives. Their lives will never be the same. You're the restorer of all things. You take the crooked things and you make them straight. Father God, you bring healing and restoration. So Father God, I just pray, Father God, over these three today. I pray that you just move in their hearts and lives in such a supernatural way that their lives will never be the same. Can you pray with me and say, Jesus, I declare you today as my Lord. I surrender all my earthly goods to you. I today am denying myself. I'm going to take up your cross. I'm going to take up my cross, not yours, and follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, stir up the gift in me. Let it be revived. May I walk in the fullness of your mercy and of your grace, and I'll never cease to give you praise. Devil, get behind me. I've declared today I belong to Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and I'm blessed. I'm favored.